Good afternoon. Today is Monday, October the 7th, 277th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Last Rodeo Cowboy.
Right.
Right?
Probably,
he's taken over before...
He'll be here the next Monday or...
All right. In November.
Whenever we
so
live.
You are the last. This is the last one. Ha!
Yeah.
Current.
Unless he assigns me out here like Gar used to do. Millsap and Douglas.
That is a whole frightening specter, frankly.
Yeah.
Oh, Merle Harpham's alongside, and your new boss?
Yes.
All
Andy,
right.
Andy Mills from San Diego, who will be taking over November 4th. And I'm sure he'll have some things to say today.
That's right. What time November 4th? Before or after 3 o'clock?
Oh,
because either we're going to have the new boss if it's 3 o'clock, or we're going to have the old guy if it's like 4 o'clock.
Yeah, well, we can come out whenever you want. We can come out together as far as I go. That last day, I guess.
Oh,
that
happy day.
I don't have to, but the next day or the following 2 days, we're having the swearing in.
All right. Well, we'll do our own little version of swearing in then when we come back.
Change of command.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of The Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills and Merle Harpham from the Eureka Police Department. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, that's way too serious. Let's see if we can find a goofy one for Merle.
Why don't you look these up ahead of time?
Oh, well, that would take away from the spontaneity.
Okay.
All right.
He always does it this way.
Yeah. All right, here's one for you, old-timer.
Okay.
All right. You can trust your mother... but you always cut the cards.
Okay.
Oh, so I guess we start with Andy, huh?
Yeah.
Why Eureka?
Why Eureka? What a fabulous city you have. We have now. This is coastal. It's still in California. We have the spectacular redwoods all around. We have an ocean that is... extremely beautiful, and the criteria for my wife and I when we started looking, knowing that this was going to be an inevitability somewhere, was we wanted somewhere that our family and friends could visit that we could be proud of. And in Humboldt,
Merle, did you give him the tour of Eureka?
Yes, I did.
Okay, all right.
In Humboldt County, fit that perfectly.
Right.
And so we're elated to be here.
I would imagine that. For the first little bit, you're just going to kind of let the dust settle?
Yeah, my plans are let the dust settle and then get a good view of what the people and the cops and the leaders of this community feel about the community, what problems they see, and how they view community public and safety. And then we'll set a strategic path forward together, getting input from everybody. And then because I want everybody to buy into that so that this is a community-wide effort, not just the police.
Kind of nice that we had the meth house explosion last week just as kind of the informal welcome to Eureka, huh?
They knew I was coming, so I said, let's blow up a house or two, you know.
There you go. Merle, what sets Andy apart from, I guess, either from... Dave and Arnie and some of the other folks that have been with us that have spent a long time in city police work, or just sets him apart?
Well, he seems to be a very positive guy, and he's got some positive ideas. He brings some fresh ideas from out of the area. He's been involved in a lot of things in San Diego, involving, leadership of people and involved in different things. And so I think he's going to be a very good fit.
But he lacks the tenure to know all this.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. Well, one of the challenges, obviously, for anybody who's new to the community or those of us who have, and I'll use the phrase, suffered through new folks coming in the community. See, I remember Reeser and some of those guys in the past. Do you guys even have a picture of him in the hall as a past police
chief? No, we don't. But, you know, he didn't hurt us.
No, just but personalities is where I was going to.
Right,
you know,
Kent
was a cop, but the personality just didn't quite ever mesh.
Yeah. He was kind of our people called him the ghost chief.
Okay.
He was there, but he wasn't there type of
gotcha.
Thing. But as I say, you know, I can't speak badly of him because he did not hurt us. You know, he got some things for us because he got a honeymoon because he was from out of the area. And I'm hoping Andy will get the same kind of.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Okay, for your first 3 or 4 months, new guy in town, big gun. Do you have a priority that you want to, that you see now that you want to work on while you're gathering the community information, while you're getting the feedback, while the two of you are driving around and kind of getting a sense of what this area really is all about as a resident rather than as a tourist?
I think that the one thing that I'm hearing from everybody so far, both internally and externally, is the obvious transient issues and mental health issues and drug addiction issues that has just inundated a certain percentage of the population. So I'd really like to get a good handle on that and then start making progress towards, solving those problems as best you can. This isn't a police problem, but it winds up being a police problem.
Yeah, almost by default.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff we get, we do by default.
San Diego is certainly a different size community than what we've got, opposite end of the kingdom also. Are there a lot of transferable lessons from there to come here, or is that experience and you got the experience and you're going to throw that towards some of these challenges?
Both. There are some hugely transferable lessons to be learned. The community that I currently manage is called Western Division, which includes Ocean Beach. There's 16 communities. Ocean Beach is very similar to Eureka. In fact, you could take Ocean Beach out and plug it into Eureka and take Eureka, plug it in there. Nobody would know the difference, probably because some of them are too stoned in Ocean Beach to know the difference, as well as maybe some here.
Ergo the commonality.
Ergo the commonality. And I mean, huge transient problems, but a very powerful community that is very interested in doing the best they can to both treat people right as well as solve the problems to make it someplace that people would want to come and visit. So I really see a lot of commonalities there, and as well as the experience that has allowed me to grow as a professional and learn certain things that I can apply here, not just from San Diego, but from all over the world.
KINS. Ooh, he's a world traveler. We'll have to get into that when we come back. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. I guess Merle's participating somewhat. You know, you're kind of like Edgar Bergen now.
Yeah, right.
Keep your hands above the counter, please.
Right, okay.
And Andy Mills. Andy's the new top cop for Eureka. Guys, as you look at the culture that we have here, Andy, you talked about the obvious, easy-to-find stuff. Merle, you know the multi-generational usage, I guess, for a lot of these families you're dealing with. How do you break the chain? How do you do that short of shipping somebody out of town to go to school, or becoming such a pain that they stop because it's the hassle is just too much. And those are really obvious, simplistic solutions. But how do you do that when you've got a culture like has grown up around here in the last 25 to 35 years?
Well, you have to attack the core problem, the very root of the situation, and that's the drug abuse, particularly the meth problem that we have here. You have to attack that, and I don't have a ready answer for that, but that's the basis for the whole problem that we're dealing with is the meth problem.
Is it the use, or is it the culture that accepts the use?
Both. I mean, you know, you have that situation at both ends of this. You know, when I started, you know, all we dealt with was marijuana. I hadn't seen marijuana until I came on the police department. I'd heard rumors of it, but we started dealing with marijuana. And then a few years down the road, we started dealing with heroin because the heroin people were showing up here, being paroled here from the prisons. And then that was carried on through the 60s, and then probably along in about the 80s, meth came along. And that's been that's, you know, when I made the statement that meth is going to turn this place into a hellhole if we don't do something about it.
Well, unfortunately, your crystal ball was a little too crystal on that one, and you were able to figure it out. Yeah, I can remember Ray Shipley talking about that and tar heroin.
Yeah.
Flying in at Murray Field. What? And that... It took me about 4 years to figure out what he was really talking about then.
Yeah.
Andy, were you able to deal with or the drug culture, if you will? Marijuana certainly is one thing. Meth is a different thing. The cartels are completely different in our area. It's not a simple solution, certainly. But is there a procedure that you see that you're looking to implement to kind of start nibbling away at this thing?
Well, I think you have to obviously approach this from a multi-tasked perspective. Some of the solutions have nothing to do with the police. For instance, education and you know the marketing aspect and the faith community and the mental health community. I mean, why are people using drugs? Is it because they have mental health problems, or they develop mental health problems because of the drug usage? I mean, what came first, the chicken or the egg? But at the same time, we have to really go after the networks and the more organized aspect of drug trafficking, as best we can, shut down those pipelines and avenues. If somebody is organizationally selling drugs, or becoming the pipeline up here, then we're going to have.
Merle, have you talked to him about regular speak out here? Organizationally selling, does that mean?
If you've got a cartel group.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay.
Or if you have a group of addicts that are banding together to traffic drugs, then we're going to go after them. And especially if there's a violence associated with that that drug trafficking. I mean, you know, if you blow up a meth house and you burn a two-year-old, that's not acceptable in any community.
Yeah, I figure that implies the ton of bricks response.
Yeah.
You're just going to take care of it. The whole process, Merle, do you see that we've got a lot of heroin, the LSD, the ecstasy, some of that kind of stuff that we have had historically? Are those still around, or is meth and marijuana just
they're
so
still
overwhelming
around.
That...
Yeah, no, they're still around, but the meth is the biggest problem because people develop a paranoia and meth, whereas the heroin people, you know, they shoot up, they're happy, they lay back and go to sleep. They're not real aggressive unless they need it. Then they might go out and, you know, commit a robbery or something like that. But the meth people are 90 miles an hour all the time.
And I like the way you did your hands at the same time with that one. That was a nice accompaniment. Andy, is meth a big deal in San Diego? I mean, is it all over the place, or do we have pockets of it?
Meth is nationwide. Unfortunately, it's a scourge that has become something that a nation is addicted to. You know, in the 80s, we had meth labs all over the place in San Diego, and they shut them down to the Operation Triple Neck and some other things to shut down the manufacturing portion. Now, acetaminophen has been being stolen like crazy out of pharmacies, and now they've locked those away. So what you have frequently now is cartels, La Familia, and others that are trafficking large amounts of methamphetamine from the super labs up here as well as all of the United States, and it has really devastated our communities.
KINS News and Information Time, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills and Merle Harpum.
Are you thinking about opening or expanding your business in McKinleyville? Come see what the McKinleyville Shopping Center has to offer. We're holding an open house for prospective tenants this Wednesday, October 2nd from 4 to 7 p.m. We have great lease rates and incentives. Benefit from the foot traffic generated by quality businesses like Safeway, Ramon's Bakery, Subway, and Napa Auto Parts. Call us at 268-1800 with any questions or visit McKinleyvilleShoppingCenter.com. Come join us this Wednesday from 4 to 7.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpum, former police chief. That's got to feel pretty good for you, huh?
Yeah, it's coming.
I mean, you've been trying to take care of that thing for a long time. And Andy Mills, the guy who's at the other end of the pass, a new guy in town. Merle, do we have a gang problem here?
No, we have a very minor gang problem. I think Andy kind of noticed that he didn't see a lot of gang graffiti when we're driving around town.
We just see a bunch of spazzos with paint cans?
Yeah.
They're not connected to anything? They're just like defacing things?
From what I saw.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so our gang problem is most of them come out of the prisons. And but, you know, they're getting where they're... Why dress like a gang? You know, you don't have to spray paint them or anything to know who they are. If they continue to dress as gangsters, and so they're getting away from that. They're dressing more like you can't really identify who they are.
Oh, really?
Unless you get their shirts off. And
polo shirts? And,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
we call them wife beater shirts.
Oh, the undershirts?
Just with the straps, yeah.
Yeah, the armless.
Show off all the tattoos. And,
okay. Well, that's still kind of like not hiding really well.
No. I'd say, but you don't see a lot of that like we used to.
Yeah, remember when the Bayshore Mall was the big issue?
Oh, yeah.
And drive-bys, and now we haven't had any of those in a while.
Yeah, nope.
Is that an ebb and flow of what's going on?
Well, I
or
hope
do we
not.
Just not have as many of them? Or?
I hope not. We have a gang task force, and they've been doing a good job staying on top of it. And one of the things we've done, and we haven't done one for a while because there hasn't been that big issue, but when we go out in teams and contact the gang members at their homes, because usually they're on probation or parole or whatever, you know, we put the word out that the reason why we're doing this is because we're seeing graffiti in certain parts of town. And so they get the message that, you know, if they keep low-keyed, then we're not going to be paying visits to them as often.
The hassle factor.
Yes.
Or hassling factor, I guess, would be the way to go.
Enforcement.
The realignment seems to be, I know it's been your scourge or your source of a lot of it. Andy, you concur pretty much with what Merle has been saying, is that the state really has to look at doing something different and perhaps a little bit more comprehensive rather than just worrying about their own little part of the sandbox?
This is a big sandbox with 30-some million people in it. And when you allow people to come out of the prisons who are already committed to being violent predators, you have to do something to keep them out of the community. I don't have the solution for the state, but when you release them back into a community to create havoc, especially since we're near Pelican Bay, and this seems to be the closest big city where they can come to, that really creates problems. I started Operation Constant Crook because these guys are we're looking for the guys who are continuously going to be crooks no matter what we do.
You're frequent flyers.
We're frequent flyers, and we're going to take them out of the community as quickly as possible. But at the same time, we also offer them the opportunity to get help, whether it's education, jobs training, drug addiction counseling, whatever they need, we're willing to do to help them become part of the community. But what's not acceptable is for them to become predators in the community once again. I think the biggest misnomer is the legislature has set it up where they're saying these are nonviolent offenders. Well, that may be true on the last case, but some of the prior cases, they may be very violent offenders. So we're concerned about it.
So as these folks come back into the communities, are you able to do the ankle, the home monitoring thing, or any kind of tracking device? Or even if they're in the prison or the jail, is there any of that kind of stuff that is allowed for, or does that get into other issues?
No, they're doing a lot of that through probation. Bill Dalianis can tell you how that's working. And but the problem is that a lot of times they can't get the ankle bracelets on them until because they don't hold them long enough in jail. And so what happens is that then they disappear, and so they don't get a chance to put them on any kind of probation where a judge can order ankle bracelets. They have a lot of people on ankle bracelets. But as we were talking about earlier, you know, there's certain people we targeted, and we contact the DA and say, here's a frequent flyer. You need to do something with this guy. Don't let him skate again. Because you got people on probation. They'll be on probation for five times. Like that guy I told you about, we arrested four times in a stolen car in 5 weeks. And each time he'd walk out of the car and readily give up because he knows he's going to be out of jail in an hour.
That just is mind-boggling.
I know.
Has that been your guys' experience in San Diego also? What Merle is relaying that's happening here in Humboldt?
It's tough to get people in jail now. They will do a 10-day flash hold. And even if they're, for instance, if there are conditions as part of the paroles, you can't associate with other gang members or you can't be with this person or carry this type of, you know, weapon or instrument. If you catch them with that and you call the parole agent or the probation officer, very frequently they'll say, you know, I'd love to, but I can't. I have to get a court order to do that, and it's going to take time. Or the judge will not put this person in jail. And going to the ankle bracelet issue for us, at least, and I don't know the picture up here yet, the 290 registrants, sex offenders, are mostly on ankle bracelets because you need to track them. But the logistics of doing that is complex. You have to have somebody monitoring that information. And so what do you, you know, we need our cops on the street, not monitoring, TV cameras and figuring out where these people are.
It's got to be a challenge. Andy, as you look at the budget that Merle and everybody has had to operate under, is there enough money?
Well, I've had a chance to look at the budget, and I think the city has been great helping the Eureka Police Department accomplish their goals. But I know that we always are in a position where you're running behind the gun. And in order to accomplish this at a really high level, in order to do problem solving, community policing, and top of the calls for service, which are skyrocketing in certain segments, there certainly is going to need to be a real intense look at the budget and see what can we do to make this happen. And I know that there's a proposition coming up in the future. Those are the things that can really make a difference, and we'll talk about that in the future.
You think? KINS, News and Information Times, 3:42. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills and Mr. Merle Herpin.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m., Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham and Andy Mills. Guys, as you look at the future of Eureka, whether you're employed or retired or having fun or just trying to figure life out, what do you see are the, if I said, okay, top two priorities, we don't have to even go three, top two priorities of what we need to get the community going in a positive direction?
Who do you want to answer that?
Well, we got four minutes, so each you get 1 minute per comment. Go.
We need a development in certain areas of town to attract, better class of citizens, should I say, and use up some of the space that they are now occupying, the transients are now occupying. And economic development is going to be a key issue.
Okay, economic development's one.
I see a need for a strategic plan that unifies all of the city services together so that the economic development can take place, especially along the 101 corridor. So when people are coming into town, their first impression that they see is the beautiful city that it is. When we drove into town the first time, my wife and I, you drive through past the mall and past some of the other hotels that I know that they've passed an ordinance to help on that. That is problematic because that's your first impression of this beautiful city. So I think the police working with fire, code compliance, building to clean up that area is vital to the interest of the city.
Okay, each of one down, one to go. Merle?
Another one?
Hey, I can count to two, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I guess the next thing I'd look at is what he said.
No, you can't hide behind him.
All right. Address the drug issue. And I don't have an answer for that right now, but we are working on things. Our officers, a lot of their times are spent dealing with, for instance, the drugs. And we're working on an ordinance now, or drunks. And we're working on an ordinance now that we identify certain people that we're having to deal with all the time. They become a no-no for any liquor store to sell alcohol to. And so, because we got, I'm thinking of one guy that we've had 500 and some arrests since 95 for drunk. And so, that's a lot of time we spend. A lot of times we have to take him to the hospital. And that's a cost factor and a time issue for the officers. So if we can address the 20 to 30 people that are constantly causing us those kind of problems, this new ordinance that we're developing would do that, because then liquor stores and the places that sell the alcohol, the mini marks and things like that, would not be able to sell to these people without suffering a citation.
Andy?
I really view this as, this is a city that needs a positive spin and a positive outlook. And I think the police can become part of that proposition to help people feel very positive about their city, to clean up these blighted spots, to work with the community together, to build this civic pride and this civility where you treat people well, but at the same time, you work to make sure that this city is well taken care of. So unified approach, I think, is the way to go, and we'll certainly work on that.
Well, any way you look at it, even if we got two of your fours, we'd be a little bit further ahead than where we are right now.
Well, and we have a lot of people out there that want to help, want to volunteer.
I think we've had a couple of different instances where it's percolated to the top real quick.
Yeah.
And folks are at least to the point where we may not know what to do, but we're willing to do something.
Yeah.
Where in the past, right, maybe not quite so much.
Bury our heads in the sand.
Well, you got so much other stuff going on.
Yeah.
Now that we don't have that much stuff going on now, but maybe we're a little bit more motivated at this point. So you're going to be back next month, Merle.
Yeah, one last
kind of final swan songy kind of thing. And are you a uniform guy or are you a business guy?
I'm a uniform kind of guy.
All right, we'll look for some brass on you then.
There you go.
He'll have me wearing these in a
Fair enough. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpum and Andy Mills. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love and see you tomorrow.